I'm Laura Hill. A bucket list is a wonderful thing. My other half has had a trip to Italy on her list for the past 15-plus years. The old country, as her grandmother called it. The family motherland. So as a surprise to us, our son and daughter bought airfare and hotel accommodations for the four of us for 12 days of a hybrid between heavenly bliss, the Marines' toughest obstacle course, and America's funniest home videos in our family's wonderful trip to Italia.
We travel for business. We travel for pleasure. We travel to expand our minds. Whether it's one state over or halfway around the globe. If the world's a book, why only read one page? I'm Elizabeth Hill, and you're listening to a WAMC Northeast Public Radio production. This is Postcards from the Road.
Can you walk without assistance? Can you step up? Can you stand without assistance? That would be no, no, and no. There are no grab bars, and certainly no room for someone to assist you. We were like two very large sardines in one very small can, and we danced, during turbulence, no less.
Travel is all about perspective. Laura Hill is the retired district director for the Department of Children and Families for Bennington County in Vermont. She also happens to be my mother. Something you should know right from the get-go is that both of my parents are physically disabled. And it's this fact that I thought would bring a unique perspective to season one of Postcards from the Road. This is episode 3, Step by Step.
Traveling with a handicapped is not for the faint of heart. A bucket list is a wonderful thing. My other half has had a trip to Italy on her list for the past 15-plus years. The old country, as her grandmother called it, the family motherland. We weren't getting any younger, and after 15 years plus of becoming disabled from sarcoidosis of the muscle, a rare degenerative disease, Terry wasn't getting any stronger. I also have a small fiber nerve neuropathy with significant fatigue and chronic pain issues. It was now or never. So as a surprise to us, our son and daughter, 24 and 25, bought airfare and hotel accommodations for the four of us for 12 days of a hybrid between heavenly bliss, the Marines' toughest obstacle course, and America's funniest home videos in our family's wonderful trip to Italia. Our daughter had notified airlines and hotels that we were traveling with people who were physically handicapped and would be needing wheelchair or walker assistance in the terminals and with boarding. They had the heads up before we even packed our suitcases. We arrived at Logan Airport and requested an airport wheelchair for the trip to the gate. I manned the walker. Terry can normally walk with a walker for very short distances of about 20 to 30 feet, and then must stop frequently to rest, so the wheelchair was best for her. The chair arrived relatively quickly. It was the length of a megabus. It had a handicap luggage rack in the back and an elaborate brake system operated by the push driver. The airport assistant drove her until we needed the ladies' room. Even a large, handicapped bathroom was a true challenge to maneuver this behemoth in, but we were ecstatic with the anticipation of the trip and met the challenge swiftly, even if it was awkward. Airport security was a new experience, however. We waited 20 minutes once Terry got to the front of the line for a female TSA agent to do a pat-down, since she was unable to stand or to go through any scanner device. Once the gal arrived, Terry herself informed her again she had significant muscle weakness and was unable to really move much on her own. For another 20 minutes, Terry was poked, prodded, and moved around like a big sack of potatoes. Twice the TSA agent almost dumped her out of the wheelchair. We all stood and watched. There was also great interest in her portable O2 condenser. I was quickly rehearsing in my head how to explain the logistics of sometimes she needed it and sometimes she didn't, so we always carried it. It was, after all, the latest in TSA-compliant portable oxygen carriers. TSA was also most interested in their wheelchair, the airport's own wheelchair, like somehow we had loaded it with something. Once the pat-down was done, we waited while the agent conferred with a supervisor. Nearly 30 minutes after that, she was finally cleared and we progressed to the food court near the gate we would board from. I was dumbfounded at how the general American public was oblivious to a wheelchair and a walker coming at them. Most were looking down, texting fiendishly, and tripped over our handicapped devices repeatedly. Finally, our flight was called, and we were heading down the ramp to our transatlantic flight. It's been 20 years since I had flown, so I was stunned to find out that neither wheelchair nor walker would fit down a modern plane's aisle. Rapid-fire questions began from the staff. Can you walk without assistance? Can you step up? Can you stand without assistance? That would be no, no, and no. Finally, the pilot appeared. He ordered an airplane wheelchair. Now, an airplane wheelchair is simply a glorified appliance hand truck. You know, the kind your refrigerator is delivered on, with a very short, narrow seat attached in the middle with straps. With great effort, Terry was finally strapped to the contraption. Dragged down the aisle, finally, we were in our seats. After the airplane wheelchair episode, we decided that she could go hand over hand on the seats when we needed to make our 3 or 4 trips to the ladies' room, and that seemed to work just fine, although getting people to pull their legs and shoes and iPads and whatever else was laying in the aisle out of the way was a task. However, airplane bathrooms are anything but handicapped. I would recommend to others to fly first class. There's just more room. However, the bathrooms are still the same. There are no grab bars, and certainly no room for someone to assist you. We were like 2 very large sardines in 1 very small can, and we danced. During turbulence, no less. But we managed. Soon we were seeing the snow-covered Alps break breathtakingly over the clouds, and we were flying into Munich, Germany. It was the first trip of all of us to Europe, so this was just magical. We were the last to depart off the plane, and one of the kids retrieved the walker from the baggage so we could get Terry to a bench inside the airport door. It was about 5 a.m., and the airport was well lit, immaculate, and not a soul in sight. Our daughter trekked off to find assistance. Shortly, an attendant appeared with her with a wheelchair, and we were off for the other end of the terminal. Or might I say, they were off to the other end of the terminal. I was left in the dust with the walker and 1 piece of carry-on luggage sitting on the seat. We were escorted through customs with almost no fuss and arrived 1 hour well ahead of time at the terminal for Venice. The young woman at the ticket counter was nonplussed by our announcement that we were handicapped and needed assistance. She simply picked up a phone to summon whom I quickly dubbed the handicap police. Within 5 minutes, a gentleman and a lady arrived dressed in blue vested uniforms with official-looking badges with the handicap wheelchair logos on them. I thought, wow, this is really efficient, and I was duly impressed. Guten Morgen, can you walk? Can you stand? Can you go up steps? That would be no, no, and no. Okay, okay. There was quick discussion in German between them, and then an explanation that the plane to Venice was a smaller commuter-type plane and was positioned a fair distance out on the tarmac for loading, not connected to the terminal with a ramp. This had completely not occurred to any of us. Regular passengers took a shuttle bus to the plane and then boarded via a 13-step portable staircase. Not happening for us, no way. They explained a special handicap shuttle would transport Terry and I to the plane and then a lift would assist her up into the plane. The kids could go the regular way on the shuttle bus. The gentleman then made the obligatory phone calls to summon the shuttle and the lift. And at this point, everything seemed fine. After 10 minutes, we were still waiting, and there was another call in German as there still was no shuttle. He explained it was delivering a passenger to another terminal, but would be coming along shortly. By now, the gate had about 100-plus passengers, waiting patiently. A group of Americans were sitting right next to us, discussing their frequent trips around the world. I guiltily indulged in eavesdropping the details of their wonderful travels. They amicably questioned one another as to what the delay was with the shuttle buses. It occurred to me suddenly. We were the delay. Another 10 minutes passed. All the international passengers stood by patiently in line, except the Americans. They were now complaining loudly about the wait. I felt a small guilt growing in my gut. Finally, the handicapped shuttle van arrived. We were boarded quickly, and the rest of the passengers boarded the shuttle buses. We all proceeded to the tarmac, where the plane waited. We pulled up next to a piece of large equipment. It looked like it was part Zamboni, part garbage truck and part cherry picker. A large platform quickly met our open door, and with pleasant German Guten Morgen, my better half, was swiftly loaded on the other machine and buckled in. I had just schlepped on with the walker and the carry-on and joined her when there were raised voices on the platform between our shuttle drivers and the lift operators. Luxembourg! No, Vientia! No, Luxembourg! No, Vientia! I gathered the gist that this lift operator had been dispatched to the tarmac to await a passenger for the plane parked next to ours, bound for Luxembourg. After some increased volume and huffing, I could tell by body language it was not good, and tempers were hot all around. The platform was re-extended to the van, and we were abruptly unloaded from the Zamboni back to the handicap shuttle. Our disability specialist now drove us around to the opposite side of the tarmac and parked, while one barked loudly into the radio to request a new lift. Many radio transmissions ensued over the next 15 minutes. The plane was now 15 minutes overdue for takeoff, let alone loading. Finally, a radio transmission I could translate. Go! Go! We swung back around to the same Zamboni lift we were just kicked out of. The van door opened and the platform extended. Guten Tag! As if nothing were remiss, we were quickly transferred, driven to the other side of the plane, and met by another team to assist in the boarding. The new team asked all the standard questions. Can she go up a step? Can she walk? Can she stand up? That would be no, no, and no. The lift fully extended and was still about 10 inches too short for a level transfer into the plane. The flight staff conferred, and another urgent radio transmission for another appliance dolly airplane wheelchair. It was a very rough transfer, and at one point the lift wheel was almost dropped down between the plane and the platform. There were 5 people attempting to pull and push her aboard in this contraption. Finally, we were boarded, and the seats were right near us. The flight attendant told Terry her seat was by the window. Again, this was a smaller commuter plane with even less room in the seats than in the transatlantic plane, and there was no way we could maneuver her to the window seat. The flight attendant insisted, and I insisted back, if we got her in there, we would never get her out. After a nudge from the captain, the attendant conceded, and Terry was finally seated in the aisle seat that was technically assigned to me, right next to her. It was then that I noticed they were finally allowing the 2 shuttle buses of other passengers to board. The kids came down the aisle, smiling, with the grumpy Americans behind them complaining. We all couldn't help but grin. So after a 45-minute delay, we were finally blowing down the runway for Venice for a takeoff. There was absolutely no difficulty disembarking. Apparently, radio transmission ahead had been clear, and all appropriate equipment and assistance was more than ready and waiting. Terry had been researching handicap travel in Italy for 3 months and had finally settled on booking tours through the Sage Travel Company. The owner is a gentleman in a wheelchair who has traveled most of Europe as well as other countries around the world. It's a little pricey, but worth every penny. All your needs are expertly planned for and accommodated. So it was at this point in the trip, when we landed in Italy, Sage service kicked in. What a relief. We were met by a very pleasant gentleman who whisked us to his well-appointed handicap van to transport us to the Venice water taxi. Now, Venice is a series of over 120, 150 islands, I think, connected by over 400 canals. So a handicap water taxi awaited us at the ambulance dock. Our tour coordinator for Sage Travels, Beatrice, met us at the dock. A vivacious mid-30s Italian woman dressed all in black, with the tall boots, the gold jewelry, and all the pizzazz. We unfolded out of the handicap van, bedraggled and punchy, having now been awake for close to 34 hours. Terry very slowly navigated the slope of the ramp with her sleek new red nitro walker that was bought just for the trip. Beatrice sized up the situation aptly as she raised her arms in typical animated Italian fashion and said, "I see you are not very Speedy Gonzales. Don't worry about it. We will just tweak the schedule. It does not matter if you are early, only if late." A woman clearly wise beyond her years. Our next very real hurdle was actually boarding the water taxi. Even though it was equipped with a handicap platform that raised up to the level of the dock, there was a significant several-inch gap between the dock and the platform. Now, you have to understand, we went to the shore a couple of years ago, and Terry was very nervous over just going out to dinner. She just about had a meltdown having three people drop her wheelchair just 6 inches onto the deck. So looking at this, she was mortified. After much cajoling and a three-person assist, she was aboard the taxi, and all breathed a joint sigh of relief. Beatrice chatted in her hesitant English as to what to expect upon the arrival in Venice, and the support provided by the Sage Services. It was wonderful. Our excitement rose, and everything was postcard perfect. The old masonry punctuated by open windows with red geraniums and pots and lace curtains blowing in the breeze. Gondolas and water taxis were everywhere, coming in and out of the side canals and under the famous step bridges connecting the wharfs and islands. Natives and tourists were mingling everywhere. Even in our tired stupor, it was clear Venice was a superb jewel to be admired and so worth the wait. As we approached the handicap wharf in the main canal, the large water bus taxi was docking and very crowded, so it would be quite a wait to disembark there, where there was a ramp. Beatrice explained it was rush hour in the canal, and we were going to dock at another wharf. Now, rush hour in a Venice canal is just another way to describe very choppy water due to the heavy boat traffic, and I mean choppy. The boat rocked about 3 inches side to side when we got on the taxi. Now it rocked 8 to 10 inches up and down and pulled away from the dock a good 7 or 8 inches between the high waves. Terry was aghast and refusing outright to get off the boat. She was so scared. Our son, a career farmer since age 12 with iron biceps, and our 115-pound daughter, who can out-eat most teenage boys and lift almost twice her weight, both assured us, indeed, she was getting off the boat. Our taxi driver whistled to another gondola driver, "Hey, you!" And we soon had 6 adults for a literal all-hands-on-deck event. Beatrice's sigh of release was understandable in any language. As we walked up the gangplank, she did share with us that there had one time been a proud gentleman who refused to have any assistance getting off the boat. And he did go in the drink. I thought, okay, we're off to the hotel now, where 2 wheelchairs await us to assist us in the rest of our time in Italy. Easy street. Terry's walker had no more hit those ancient, quaint cobblestones on the streets of Venice when one of the front wheels snapped at a 90-degree angle to the other. At this point, we were just in disbelief and became hysterical with laughter at our predicament, although our son did not think it very funny. A gentleman offered a luggage wheelbarrow to carry Terry in to the hotel, but Beatrice opted for the more civil transport of retrieving the wheelchair from the hotel. She and the kids went off to fetch the chair, and I sat on the luggage next to Terry on the broken walker, and I began to feed the 2 or 3 pigeons around us with crackers that were left over from the plane. A large tour group of 100 or so people walked around us like an army of ants on both sides. Within seconds, everyone, us and the tour, were dodging hundreds of pigeons and gulls. Who knew it's illegal to feed the pigeons in St. Mark's Square? Not me, although I did see a sign about 40 feet later. My daughter still thinks it would have been a funny story for me to have been arrested, but thankfully that was the end of the day's true challenges. The only thing left now was to get the best pizza, cannoli, and espresso in the world from a hole-in-the-wall eatery, navigate the narrow alleyway with the wheelchair and lots of other tourist traffic, and get some much-needed sleep. The next morning, we awoke to St. Mark's Cathedral bells, carried in through the open window on the sea breeze. I watched out the alley window as all the deliveries were made to the restaurants with oversized wooden wheelbarrows, cases of wine, fresh vegetables, kegs of beer, and other supplies shuttled in rhythmically over the cobblestones. Venice, modern and timeless glimpses of the past in the same moment. We were to meet our first private tour guide from the Sage Company, David, an older bearded man carrying all of his tour guide credentials. Serious business in Italy, requiring years of study and passing a law degree bar-type exam. He pleasantly inquired as to the relationship between the four of us. We responded that Terry and I were a couple of 30-plus years, and these were our children. He immediately began, "Finally, finally, finally! I have always had men, but you are my first two women. I am so happy to be of assistance," his face in a huge grin. David was clear that the tour was all about what Terry wanted to see. Nice that the rest of us were along for the ride. But we were ancillary to the person in the wheelchair. All of the Sage contractor providers were expert in their engagement with us. They spoke directly to Terry, unlike many who think that just because you are in a wheelchair, that you are mentally diminished, or talk louder because they think you're deaf. Worse yet, some people completely ignore the handicapped person and talk over them to others. David clearly knew his stuff. He got us escorted into St. Mark's Cathedral and quick passed to all the secret hallways. He had well-formed relationships with staff that quickly got rope barriers lowered for a closer look or better vantage point of the fantastic inlaid marble, tiles, and ornate statues. As David told the intricate historical tales of all the sites, all of our trials thus far began to fade in comparison to the wonderful sights. After 2 days in Venice, we were now rested and ready to rock and roll. We had mastered getting on and off the water taxi with the wheelchair, much easier than the walker, and we were ready for the next leg of our trip, Florence. Our next transport, once out of Venice, was the high-speed trains to Florence. Multiple bravos to the train systems of Italy, handicapped accessible to the truest sense of the word. Large handicapped bathrooms, well-lit, with wide automatic doors, all the bars and all the right places and heights, and clearly room for a person and an assistant to dance. Wheelchairs were loaded on the train precisely and efficiently with a lift to a car with seats removed so you and your companions could sit together. Aside from my attempting to drive the walker while carrying four pieces of pizza on flimsy paper plates, the train station in Venice went without incident. Again, we were met by a well-appointed handicapped van and literally delivered to the hotel door. Like, I mean 3 feet from the door. It was awesome. It had advertised handicapped accessible bathrooms and an elevator. There wasn't much new about it, though. It was built in 1600, and when you pulled up to the front door, there were two massive stone steps. Both kids lifted up a side of Terry's wheelchair and over the two steps, and I clunked along in the impaired walker that our son had straightened out enough so it didn't go in circles anymore. Then on to an ancient elevator that was not wide enough for the wheelchair, but was able to accommodate two very skinny people standing. We were able to stand Terry up, and we both sucked in our middle-aged guts to ascend to the fourth floor. This hotel was gorgeous in its ancient forest beams of wood and steadfast masonry that has stood the test of time for over 400 years. We could deal with the two front steps and being limited to only 2 hours out at a time. You see, finding public restrooms on the first floor in Italy is difficult. Most restaurants have them downstairs in very old cellars that have 20 or more often twisty steps. So we just returned to the hotel for breaks. Florence was beautiful, and again, our Sage contracted tour guide was totally in tune with making sure Terry and I were comfortable, saw everything we wanted to, and was worth every penny of her time. We toured the cathedrals and all the regular touristy spots. Then we requested to see Florence as the natives see it, winding down narrow alleys to see shoemaker shops with young apprentices intently bent over benches. We went into hole-in-the-wall delicatessens with twine-bound hams and cheeses hanging from the ceilings. We even saw a tile master inlaying a countertop, and even the local vacuum cleaner repair shop. Don't see those in America anymore. We just throw it away. By the time we moved on from Florence to Rome, we were seasoned travelers. At least I thought we were. We navigated the train stations, taxi stands, and our tour connections with Sage like pros. Rome was our 5-day stay and our most vigorous tour schedule. We took 2 days out of our tour schedule to recuperate in the hotel room and sent the kids out to tour on their own. Both of us were terribly fatigued. A planned 5-hour Vatican tour demanded both of us use the wheelchairs. But it was spectacular. The Vatican was worth every minute. We were able to use separate hallways and elevators than the general public, and we were well accommodated. At one point, we were the only 5 people in the Hall of Maps. the ancient Hall of Maps, and we were all just stopped in awe as the late afternoon sun streamed in on the polished marble floor. Terry had always dreamed of a trip to the Vatican, and here we were, bathing in all its glory. Of course, our traveling with the handicapped in Rome would not be complete without the discussion about the tour of the Colosseum and the Roman Forum ruins. For weeks ahead of our trip, Terry had refined the handicapped details of the tour of the Forum. She had triumphantly announced one night at the dinner table that she would have two attendants that would carry her on some type of carrier. I could only imagine what would rival Cleopatra's Egyptian sedan on poles, a litter of types, with four loincloth slaves under tow. After we all had some serious jokes about her ability or not to impersonate Elizabeth Taylor while being schlepped around some rocky hillside, I began to indeed question in my mind how just two attendants could manage this task. We were picked up by our disability van transport, and we wove our way across town. All of us were marveling at the sections of ancient Roman overhead aqueduct and roadway that are simply freestanding in the city. We drove past two men with a broken-down unicycle contraption on the sidewalk. A third man had stopped to help them, handing them wrenches and a kickstand-type device. Wow, I thought to myself, must be a street circus or something close by. Holy shit. No, that's Terry's ride. We pulled a U-ey and pulled up behind the three men. Terry was like, you have got to be kidding. And the kids and I were just dumbfounded and then hysterical in laughter. It had one bicycle wheel in the middle, with a frame, with a chair and a harness for the rider built over it. Wheelbarrow-like handles in the back, with handbrakes, and the front looked like a small pony or large goat should pull it, with two stays and an elaborate harness. I must say, the Europeans get a gold star for this engineering marvel. The most difficult feat, of course, was getting Terry up high enough to get into the seat. But within 5 minutes, she was strapped in and ready to roll. And that's just what she did, was roll, balanced between these two men for the next 2 hours, all around the Forum, and we have video to prove it. In fact, I had great difficulty in keeping up with the walker, as it was such a smooth ride for the Queen of Cappuccino. Rome was a contradiction in its modern ways of smart cars, cell phones, and trolleys set amongst the buildings, statues, and artifacts, some thousands of years old. I can't imagine not being able to take it all in. Being handicapped shouldn't stop anyone. Although, it does still amaze me that we were not ticketed for disturbing the peace one night on the way to dinner. Our son spontaneously jumped on the back of the wheelchair pegs and began to freewheel Terry down the Vatican Hill, leaning from side to side like a toboggan to keep her in a straight line. Her screaming, I'm sure, could be heard the whole way down. By the time our departure day arrived, we were exhausted but enlightened that we truly could travel with the handicapped, live to tell about it, and as a family, we're all still speaking to one another. According to Terry, we are next off to see the wizard in Ireland. Pup crawling with a wheelchair and a walker might be just the ticket, although part of me would like to borrow the Zamboni from Munich and really turn heads.
Postcards from the Road is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Our theme music is Kevin MacLeod's Cherry Blossom Wonders. And as always, if you like what you hear, subscribe on your audio app of choice. Visit WAMCpodcasts.org for more information.